At 1 o'clock, we are doing our Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway. We are also doing the first edition of a new segment, Fair or Foul, where Chris and I will share stories, not both of us each week. Whoever has one, it could be sports, it could be outside of sports. We'll say a couple different ones, and we will decide whether the situation is fair or foul. Yes, to tease this one today, the first one, Simone, I don't think you were on the last time I had a situation at the gym.
Okay, no. I was here for his return from San Francisco, which was a great story.
That would be foul.
I'm very excited.
That would easily be foul.
Very foul.
So you guys are just getting together and knowing, like, we got some stories. We got to make this into a feature.
That's right. That's right. Fair or foul, that is coming up at 1 o'clock.
The debut
on a Friday. Fair or foul Friday. So something came out yesterday about LeBron James and how it was fairly realistic that he could be moved. The Lakers completely lost in translation with what to do. I feel like if you're going to move LeBron, you might as well move what's left of AD as well and just start all over. Now, Rich Paul comes out today and says LeBron won't be traded and we aren't asking to be. So that's based on the speculation. Of course, that is per Brian Windhorst. I mean, I don't know that it was ever a thing. And is the whole reason they're saying it's not a thing simply because this is LA?
Probably. It's also just really tough to trade LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Like, no GM wants to have that on their resume. And B, it's just, how do you even remotely get fair value for what LeBron brings you? Because not only, obviously, does he bring you a lot of on-the-floor stuff, but the amount of money, hype, attention that you get for having LeBron James on your team, it's a pretty valuable piece to just ship off. And you can't really, you know, Jaime Jaquez and, you know, Tyler Hero aren't really quite matching the value for what exactly LeBron brings you. So it's just kind of tough.
Yeah, I saw on the SAC chat, Allen Diamond said, I would send Fox for LeBron and Russell right now.
No,
I don't know if you meant or, but you're definitely not getting LeBron and D'Lo.
No, please,
or De'Aaron Fox.
Oh my
God. I don't know what Chris.
I think that would be the worst trade of my lifetime, of anything. Even like lunch
LeBron and
schools.
D'Lo for Fox? First of all, that would never happen.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just... Like, what would the Kings be doing that for? Like, you would have to say, yeah, we're winning the title this year then.
And they probably would.
Or next year. The Kings would?
They probably would.
If you're trading De'Aaron?
De'Aaron? LeBron, Herter.
Yeah.
LeBron,
defense
Herter.
Defense is going to be an issue.
Yeah. I don't think that team wins. But if you're able to, first of all, like we said, thank you, Allen, but nobody is moving De'Aaron Fox.
No.
The whole point would to be to have De'Aaron with LeBron.
Yes.
Now, Keegan might have to go.
He definitely would have to go. That would definitely be what the Lakers ask for.
Exactly. And give us a Rui or somebody younger just for when LeBron retires.
Right.
But, you know, that's Rich Paul coming out now saying that nobody, LeBron ain't going nowhere. He's staying in La La Land. Yeah, so quit asking me, okay? Look, I saw a couple different proposed trades to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Did you see? It was Miami. There was another one, too.
Stephen A. wants them to go to New York.
Of course.
Wants him to go to New York.
And you know what? Stephen A., who we know how big of a personality he is, because we get on fans for saying, hey, just add LeBron and we'll still keep everyone.
Yeah,
like these trades that don't make sense. Stephen A. on national television says, Have you not seen what Jalen Brunson's been doing?
Right.
What Randall's been doing? And it's just, Stephen A., you got to trade some of these guys to get LeBron. He's just not just going to be.
It's going to be DiVincenzo. He's going to say, you see what Dante's doing?
Okay, you can move off of DiVincenzo because he's balling now. No disrespect. So I get on Kings fans and Niner fans and just fans in general for making unrealistic trades. But even Stephen A. does it. Everybody does it when it comes to being a fan, and I don't think that LeBron's going to go anywhere.
I don't either. There's no way, and also, I mean, with the amount of power LeBron has in general, no deal is getting done without LeBron's consent. So no. if Rich Paul's out here saying it's not happening, then and he not only that, it's a double down because it's Rich Paul telling Brian Windhorst. So those are two very, very LeBron sources saying it ain't happening.
Yeah, it's
fun though. I don't know to talk about,
but I will say this. I don't know
what the future of LeBron holds.
I don't know what the future of LeBron holds. Yeah. And you know, you talk about the Peyton Mannings and some of these guys that get to end their career riding out at the top, not at the top of their game, but
right
in the pinnacle of their game, winning a Super Bowl, things like that. And I don't know if that's going to be LeBron, which might be fitting.
We'll see.
To LeBron's career, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, I mean, we forget just because Kobe had the 60-point game in his last game, that was the last game of the regular season. Like Kobe wasn't even on a playoff team in his final year in the NBA. And I don't know. I mean, obviously there's all the Bronny stuff out there. We don't even know if Bronny's going to come out in the draft this year. We don't know if LeBron's actually going to stick to his word and actually go play with Bronny. We don't even know how many years LeBron has left in general. Like you know, he's clearly at the top of his game, or shouldn't say the top of his game. He's
All-star.
Clearly still playing at an all-star, all-NBA level, so it'd be tough to imagine he's going to step down, you know, next season or something. But we are getting to the point where it's, you know, his style of play has to change at some point. Where, like, at some point, he's going to look a little bit more like Karl Malone than LeBron James. And, you know, we haven't quite gotten to that point of him kind of being in the second stretch of his career where he kind of has to adapt his play. I don't know. I think Miami makes some sense. He obviously has the familiarity with it. I guess he also bought a condo in Miami this offseason, so there's a lot of rumors and whispers, and he also congratulated Spo on Twitter when he got his contract extension. So there's some legitimate links there. I don't even know if LeBron knows, honestly. And as crazy as that is, because he's planned out every single moment of his career, it feels like. But I honestly don't think he's 100% certain of what's going to happen after his – because I think his contract's up. Is it after this year? It's either after this year or next year.
Because I know it wasn't a long one. And, yeah, I mean, teams don't want to mortgage their future for the chance. Because, like you said, it's not a – this isn't the LeBron who took – that Cavs team to the finals.
Yeah, nine straight finals.
You can't, you said, hey, if you swap De'Aaron Fox for LeBron James right now, there is no certainty that the Kings are going to the finals. And that's what I think all these teams are struggling with. He's got a player option after next season.
Okay. That's interesting.
And then he is an unrestricted free agent in 2025.
Okay. So, the countdown kind of, in a way, does start now. I mean, you can understand how, and maybe this is something that we need to take note of because, again, LeBron has done this in the past where he left a lot of crumbs leading to his Cleveland departure to LA. You can maybe argue that he's starting to leave some crumbs here where, remember that random week where those LeBron trade rumors popped up right before the deadline?
Rich Paul is saying he's not being traded right now.
Right now. Exactly.
That has nothing to do with the summer.
Has nothing to do with halfway through next season, this exact point a year from now. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It's crazier things have happened.
And when you talk about Stephen A. and the Knicks.
York Knickerbockers.
That would be one way to end a career.
It would be sick. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible. Because, I mean, I think the Knicks were in his initial decision.
Yeah.
I believe they were a finalist there.
And now you got to wait for them to get good, which he did.
He did, exactly. It just took some time. Took like 10 years for them to get there. But now it would make a lot of sense. You know, you got the Garden. You got Knicks fans feeling good about things. The only thing that, you know, maybe might cross LeBron's brain is, well, if LeBron kind of ruins what's going on there, well, you just kind of upset. Not that LeBron has ever done that, and he took the same risk joining the Lakers, but you know, at 38 or 39, whatever he'll be, you know, if LeBron goes to the Knicks and they don't win, well, something tells me New York fans are going to say, this guy's a bum.
Yeah.
I knew it. Right. He ruined everything. We were building a champion.
We lost Randall. Yeah. We lost Randall. Yeah. We had cohesion. The chemistry. The chemistry.
He's
was
a
ruined.
Tibbs guy. Yeah. And that's another thing, too, is LeBron and Tibbs don't seem like a matchup made in heaven.
Yeah.
So. it, you know, there, he's got some options, though. I mean, obviously every single team will take him, but there's a couple teams out there that make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah,
we'll see.
And I don't think the Kings are.
There's a lot of Warriors rumors too.
I was gonna say,
yeah, it's not fun. I don't like to talk about them, but there's some. It's quiet. It's louder than a whisper.
If I was LeBron and I didn't want Steph to eclipse me, I team up with Steph and we can get this thing together.
I think that's tough, though, because you saw what happened with KD. But like, no one gave KD the credit. And so
yeah, but
KD like...
and Steph is different than LeBron and Steph.
A bit, yeah.
Because at least LeBron would say Steph can't, because there have been rumblings about if Steph gets one and LeBron doesn't.
Right.
You could make the argument.
Sure.
To put him, not that anybody would, yeah. But you could. But if they get it together, LeBron blocks him.
Yeah.
So they have to get it together.
It'd be interesting. And then you also get LeBron with his one true love as well, Mr. Draymond.
That's right.
they get to play together.
You would see the best basketball of Draymond Green's career.
His whole career. It would be incredible.
He's doing 360s.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, the backpack goes away, everything. And yeah, he's on his best behavior for the rest of the time.
But it would be at what cost?
I mean.
And you know what that cost is.
It'd be Klay. You can maybe give him Wiggins. You can give him JK. The thing is, the Warriors have the pieces. And
they
that's
do.
Where it's. And it's not completely ruining what they got. I mean, as long as you have Steph and, you know, if LeBron's coming, he's going to want Draymond there.
Right.
As long as you got those two, I think LeBron would be happy.
You might be able to get it done and keep Klay.
You probably could. Yeah, throw Wiggins in there.
And I think the thing is, where we disagree on Kuminga's ceiling,
yeah.
I would say in this situation, if you're making me choose between what's left of Steph and Kuminga's possible ceiling,
yeah.
You're going to LA, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Get ready to pack your bags, buddy. You're going. Get ready to learn.
Going to LA. Congrats.
Get ready to learn Tinseltown, buddy. Yeah. You are headed to LA.
Sure Kuminga would love it.
Here is Jake Fisher getting back to the Kings. Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports had some things to say. He wrote a piece about what is going on with the Kings and other teams, and this is from a Jake Fisher piece. Dallas and Sacramento remain the two teams connected by league figures to Washington forward Kyle Kuzma. The Mavericks appear to be pursuing a much wider range of players than the Kings. Sacramento and Dallas both register interest in Siakam and Grant, league sources told Yahoo Sports, but aside from the Kuzma connection, whom the Kings have pursued dating back to his Laker days, Sacramento isn't currently known to be pursuing other roster upgrades that would require parting with Harrison Barnes, sources said. And he could very well stick in Sacramento beyond the deadline. The Mavericks, meanwhile, continue to be connected to other forwards such as Washington, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Andrew Wiggins.
Oof. That's interesting. There's a couple different things there. First thing, interesting, of course, it seems like, I think I said this yesterday, but Kings and Dallas seem to be looking in the same pots. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'll have to look at Dallas's assets, but that's a little bit scary for the Kings from the Kings' perspective because you're then in a bidding war. And as we've established, Kings don't have that big of a chest. No. And so, you know, they can't really dig very deep in order to beat anybody's offer. And I don't really know what Dallas necessarily has to throw out that might be better than the Kings. But just in general, when you're in a bidding war, you're probably going to have to give up more than you want. I don't know if, and this becomes the question of how desperate, if we were to put on 1 to 10, how desperate are the Kings to definitely have to make a move? It doesn't feel like they're super desperate. It feels like a team like Dallas would be more desperate. It feels like the Kings could still bank on, you know, we're playing pretty well, and you could argue we haven't played our best so far this season. Like, there's still a whole second half. And then even there, hearing Harrison Barnes, he could stay beyond this deadline. That's the first time we've seen that in writing as well. That it's starting to sound like, you know, they've been listening to Styles and Watkins, and they've definitely been listening to the Styles portion of the show.
I told you, nothing is happening. But I want Kyle Kuzma. I love Kyle Kuzma. It just, we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we're definitely getting there.
I think, and I'm tired of doing this every time. I think this road trip is a big deal. Nothing has been a big deal to move any needle, right?
Losses, wins, struggles.
The Grizzlies
success.
Make a small deal to really just, I guess, put themselves in a position to get somebody big in this year's draft because they're not doing anything. So your boy Steven Adams is headed to Houston.
Houston, yeah, which is an interesting move. Houston continues to just kind of
exist.
Yeah, yeah. They, like Steven Adams is he's good. He's good. He's I would not say he's great, but he's, you know, high end third tier of a center in the NBA. He's a good piece to have, but I don't know. You know, I think it's going to make Houston better. It makes them more of a professional basketball team than they were last year, 1,000%. And we've obviously seen firsthand that they've taken leaps this year in as well. I don't know. It depends what they do in the offseason, but I think it's a good move for Houston overall. It just kind of depends. We don't know how healthy Steven Adams is. This is the second straight year he's had to miss because of injury, and I think he's on the other side of 30
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, he's
so.
Definitely no yeah. spring chicken. Yeah. After
and
those.
Has never been like an explosive athlete.
No, that is not his bag at all. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, some crazy numbers coming out of Las Vegas. We also kind of profile the Tony Snell situation, what the league could do there to figure out a solution. We will give you those details. And we'll get into some Niners talk. Are the Niners underdogs? And don't forget, Fair or Foul at 1 p.m. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. I guess you would call it a unique story out of Tony Snell's camp. And yes, when you talk about Tony Snell, he's got that meme, but this is serious stuff here. As Tony Snell is what? A certain amount of games or one, so.
Yeah. He's got to officially be on a contract, an NBA contract this year to apply for, you know, their lifetime insurance, like having medical insurance for the rest of his life.
Yes, yes. Sure. So here is, this was Charles Barkley on the TNT broadcast last night discussing hope. Basically, should a team step up and what should be done to make sure that this gets taken care of?
I read an article yesterday, Tony Snell.
Yeah. Needing to be signed.
By the end of this week, because he's got two kids with autism, and he needs to play to the end of the year to get a 10-year medical to help him take care of his two autistic kids. I'm hoping, you know, man, the NBA has been great to all of us sitting up here, you know, and you guys are going to be playing basketball forever, making gazillion dollars. I hope one of you guys sign Tony so his two autistic kids can get great medical care. I read that article.
Or does the league just, well, Adam Silver comes in and it makes an exception and he gets the.
It's only
40 games. So he can make.
I'm just telling you. That's
an easier way.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I hope a team signs him for the rest of the season because, you know, I don't know a lot about autism. I'm not going to say that. But, man, I know it's got to be expensive to have two young kids with that situation. So I'm hoping the NBA, we always talk about what a family we are.
Right.
Let's sign that kid for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you heard Kenny hop in, and whenever you're asking, it is difficult because whenever you're asking people to bend the rules or to make an exception,
right.
Then it becomes a, well, you did it for
slippery
him,
slope,
can you do it for me? So when Kenny hopped in there, I just kind of thought, Kenny, can you
just let him talk?
Can you just let him, can you let him finish,
yes.
Right? I mean, I think there are a couple different ways to do this here, and I don't know would it have to, we don't know the ins and outs, would it have to be, could it be a 10-day or whatever the situation is,
right?
And from a basketball standpoint, would somebody be willing to do it? Tony Snell is only 32. Obviously, he hasn't been playing. But, yeah, hopefully somebody steps in. It's a unique situation. But I do feel like, not to be the company guy, but when you bend rules, not that the NBA can't afford it. It's
absolutely
not about that.
Yeah.
I'm just,
no, for sure.
It just turns into, well, then just bend them all the time then? I don't know. I don't want it to sound.
No, for sure. I hear what you're saying, though, because it is a slippery slope. And, I mean, this definitely is a situation where you would expect it to warrant it. But at the end of the day, like, especially with something like healthcare, you could kind of see how they would say, "I'm like, the rules are the rules. And, you know, there could be situations all the time and, you know, whatever. It, again, it becomes a slippery slope. But definitely hope that somebody signs him. I mean, Even if it is 10-day, like you said, or if it has to be for the rest of the season,
right. Yeah,
I understand why maybe some teams might say, oh, you know, like, you know, it's a roster spot and every spot needs to be valued. But, you know, I'm looking – there's so many teams at the bottom of the NBA. Detroit, Portland. I mean, well, even he's in the G League right now. Like, he's with the – I think he's with the Maine Celtics right now. So, you know, could the Celtics possibly call him up or take care of it internally? It's great that Chuck took the time to call that to attention, though, because I saw the Jake Fisher article. I read a couple paragraphs of it, and I had heard about Tony Snell and his autistic children before, and it sounds like he does need it too, because you could also argue, I can hear people saying, oh, he's played in the NBA 9 seasons, you've got enough money, you're a multimillionaire. It seems like from what I saw, I think it was a video as well that you can probably check out on YouTube. There's a lot that goes into just the care that he needs. So definitely hope that they can just, you know, however they need to do it, just take care of the situation.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of the amount of money he's made. It's just the fact that he's so close.
Yeah, right.
Right? If he wasn't close at all.
Yeah, if it's like he needs 2 more years, then it's like, okay, you can understand how that might be a bigger ask. But
right.
At this point, we're saying 2 months.
Exactly, with a bunch of teams that aren't going to do anything come postseason time. Even the Spurs.
Yeah.
Okay. There are so many teams.
Yes,
so many teams that we could just go. Like, you could do a very. You could do it very easily. Who is not able to pretend like it matters whether they sign?
You got Charlotte.
Tony Snell.
You got
or not.
Washington. You got Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You got even Memphis.
Toronto.
Toronto. Portland. San Antonio. I mean, and it doesn't have – we just threw out the losing teams. It doesn't have to be a losing team.
Right, I mean, the Jazz.
What are the odds that the big club, the Celtics – you're telling me the Celtics are going to go down to their 14th man?
No.
They had Justin Jackson on their championship roster. Like, you can have people out
know
there.
That.
Exactly. You can have guys out there that have no intention of playing. Absolutely not. So, this is a very I guess to Kenny's point, it should be an easy situation, or Chuck's point as well, but it should be an easy situation to fix regardless of how they get it done. I just hope that the NBA, who is, you know, obviously there's tons of billionaire and multimillionaire owners, you would just hope that somebody would say, hey, let's try and help this guy out, because it is. It is a true family, and it is a brotherhood, and something small like that, you could see how they're, you know, it could possibly sow some distrust between players and ownership, or the NBA PA and ownership as well, because it's like, we're not, like you said, we're not asking for a lot. We're just asking for one of our players who desperately does need help. Not, I shouldn't say desperately, but does need help. Can you just scratch his back just this one time? How many times have you guys pulled one over on one of our players and we haven't said something about it? Can you just scratch our back once?
Got to get to a break. When we get back, some crazy numbers coming out of Vegas and whether or not the Niners are underdogs. Only a couple NFL Network analysts even chose the Niners to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. That Las Vegas sphere is out of control. And I always have a lot of thoughts about advertising. I do think it works. I used to be that person. Why is McDonald's paying for all this? It's not like nobody knows who McDonald's is.
Yeah.
But I do think sometimes they get you to where it's, I mean, I guess I haven't had Taco Bell in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe I want Taco Bell. I do think it works.
Or you're just like, oh, that pizza looks really good. Where's that from?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly. So the Las Vegas Sphere, which can be seen out of anybody's bedroom window, is charging brands up to $2 million for advertising takeovers during Super Bowl week. This whole thing is out of control.
It's insane. Everything is getting gouged. And by the way, the Sphere, I saw it when I was in Vegas for that Vikings Raiders game. Overrated.
Ooh, not impressed.
Way overrated.
He said.
Is it
and I was
weird
so,
looking? What?
I've seen it too.
The problem is,
it's cute.
Yeah, okay, so. A, it's see-through during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's made out of a weird screen where you can definitely see through the screen, and it's not super clear, or not super vivid, I guess I would say. The LEDs aren't. And then if you walk up close enough, you see the individual lights. And so it just, it doesn't hold, it looks a lot better from afar.
Right, when, like, people, it's creepy, it's not very creepy.
Yes.
It's like the Wizard of Oz. I see,
yes,
how the,
peel back the curtain a,
yes,
bit.
How,
yeah,
the cookie is being made.
Exactly.
I think it's an absolute staple of Las Vegas, though, now. It's, you don't agree, Chris?
No, it looks
great. Just like the Luxor, or...
It's adding to the skyline,
the
for
Bellagio,
sure.
The Bellagio, yeah. I think that it has that
I
much of an impact.
The problem is, it's thing. Not functional. Like, it's not, I shouldn't say it's not functional. It's just, from what I understand, they are losing a ton of money on it. And so it's like, it looks great, but at the same time...
Well, that's why they're charging people $2 million.
They ain't making money. Yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're trying to make this money back a normal week, huh, to advertise $450K, just a measly $450K.
Just something light.
Yeah.
Super Bowl week, like we said, it'll be $2 million. There's also another story coming out of...
Simone, real quick, how do you feel, and I guess Alan, you too, but Simone, since you've seen it, like, because it is used for mainly advertising.
Yeah.
Like, and that's also my problem with it, is we see, like, the cool, like, oh, it's the moon, and oh, it's this weird furry thingy, mm-hmm, but too many times you actually walk up and it's like... a sponsor for Pandora Diamonds.
Right. I mean, what is your question there?
It's just like, I mean, should it be used for advertisement, and or should it
strictly?
Be...
No.
Because I feel like it's used, but I feel like that's what it's used for more
but
often.
But what about,
than
like, there's like the emoji thing, as you just said, the moon thing. That isn't
like
sponsored,
like,
right?
No,
that's
it's
just
not.
Like placeholders, like in between.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not used enough for that. Like, I feel like if you go, it's probably like 10% used for actual cool things like that.
Yeah.
And the other nine, pretty much my bigger problem is the Sphere, while it is cool, seems to just be the world's biggest bulletin board, you know, video board,
yes,
for advertising.
It's going to be a lot. I'm curious to see what they are going to utilize it for the Super Bowl. That's like the best, I mean, arguably, some of the best guerrilla marketing, interesting strategies.
Yeah.
So what are they going to utilize that Half Dome with is what I'm excited to see. And you guys are going to report back. Hopefully,
yeah, I guess we will. Yeah. Because I do like the guerrilla marketing is definitely the coolest part of it. If you can make something that doesn't look like it's intentionally supposed to be, mm-hmm, you know, without throwing the NFL logo massively on
right.
it, if you can do something cool like that somehow.
And just, again, I just want to, their big thing is impressions, right? Look at how many people are going to be pressing,
sure,
sending, retweeting,
mm-hmm,
it billboard. Online.
It's just a really... really complex,
it's a really cool, expensive billboard.
Yeah, and so here's the line, though. If you can go too far with this stuff, you can go too obvious, as we mentioned, the Luxor, one side of the Luxor, I'm assuming the front, looks like a big Dorito chip.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's very obvious, right? The Sphere, sometimes it can be too obvious, and obviously they're losing money. When it first came out and it was, what is this?
Yeah.
Is it
Did the aliens drop this in the middle of
right.
Las Vegas?
Right, and there's some mystique, some mystery there. It's a dance, though, because if you don't remember, and I believe Simone was producing the show as well, that whole Snoop Dogg smoke thing.
Oh, right.
For the smokeless
I'm
fireplace.
Going smokeless.
That did terrible.
Yeah, it
that
did
actually
terrible.
Didn't do well at all. That company lost money.
Right.
It was a complete flop because it was too confusing.
Right.
It was way too confusing.
Well, I think it upset people, too.
Yes.
It's like, I'm actually upset that this was a big
so
advertisement.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I think they waited too long to say, hey,
yes.
this.
Totally.
To the point where we kind of thought it wasn't true, but then we kind of forgot about it. Then it
yes.
was a 5 days later. So if you go... too niche or too much mystique,
right.
you can miss there too. I got one for you that's going to make certain people feel a type of way, and honestly, I get it. This just came out not too long ago, so I don't know where it was said, but Christian McCaffrey's mom, did you see this?
I did not.
Christian McCaffrey's mom and his fiance, Olivia Culpo, have come out and said that
The ticket?
The suite.
Yeah, exactly.
Was too expensive for them. And I don't know how they said it. I need to hear how you said it. I don't know if they're kidding or not. Okay, because Christian McCaffrey signed a $64 million contract, right?
Sure.
The suites are $2 million.
Yeah.
So they're saying they're too expensive for us, and it's and people are turning it into it's too expensive for them. It ain't too expensive. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to cash out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It but $2 million for a suite is crazy expensive.
It is expensive.
Like, even rich people can still say, that's too much.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm not saying you don't got it.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. You just don't want to. The implication that you don't have it is disingenuous. Oh,
she, Lisa McCaffrey has a podcast on
no,
the.
No, you're lying.
No, no.
You are
no,
lying.
No, no. Here you go.
You're
here you go.
Lying.
Here you go.
There's
this is
no.
I thought
way.
It was like a podcast format.
This is from Page6.com. The cost of suites at Super Bowl at this Super Bowl is so steep that even the players can't afford it. Christian McCaffrey's mom, Lisa McCaffrey, revealed on her podcast, on her Your Mom podcast, which now that I say that out loud, I do remember that now, Friday, that she and the NFL's star's fiance, Olivia Culpo, were unable to secure a suite at Allegiant Stadium ahead of the February 11th game. We looked into a suite and none of us can afford it, Lisa said. Okay. Not even Christian. Moneybags over there, nor Moneybags Olivia. So we are not in a suite, she added. I'll tell you that right now. So she's saying it in, it sounds like she's saying it in jest. She's not saying,
right.
Why can't we afford? Yeah. She's not saying it
she's
like
not,
that.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, she's just saying this is crazy. I mean, we're
being
not
hated on.
Yeah, we're not going to pay this much, but yeah.
That's insane. I just, I can't, like, I understand $2 million is, it's ridiculous. But if anything, it's symbolic of the Super Bowl in general, right? Mm-hmm. If the advertising is $2 million to get it on the Sphere, I'm very nervous for us just going to your local coffee shop or whatever. I'm sure those prices are going to be insane. Yeah.
What?
It's yeah. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare. But this is honestly what the NFL does. Like this is it's a premium product, and you're putting it in the heart of Las Vegas. Like things ain't going to be cheap. Like
no,
ask
not?
Everyone who went to
you
F1.
Yeah, you're not going to have a choice. Here's my question, and we mentioned this during our transition after the crossover with Carmichael Dave and Jason Roth. Do you think these restaurants, not that it's that hard, you know, I want to go to Guy Fieri's spot, which I go to every time I go to Vegas, get the trash can nachos every time. So if you're Guy Fieri, well, hopefully we get, I'm going to talk to Jay, see if we can get him on the
yes,
show. Jay,
yeah.
If you're listening, we're trying to get Guy Fieri. So it basically, okay, the Super Bowl is coming. Do you just have new menus ready to go,
right.
ready to go
with
the new prices?
Yeah.
Is it just that simple? All these places are just ordering new menus right now so they can up their prices?
It wouldn't surprise me because they've had enough time of knowing. Exactly.
It would be worth
You're
it.
You're going to get – and you know what? Something I didn't even think about is just the casual – like, I don't have Super Bowl tickets. I'm just going to Vegas to see the spectacle.
No, you're not.
I didn't even consider that being a whole demographic of people because, it's not just going to be Chiefs fans or Niners fans out there. It's going to be people who are just like, the Super Bowl is going to be in Vegas. I'm going to be there because there's going to be so many Gronk, pool parties and random things like that. It's going to be nuts, man. I think that the entire city is just going to be crazy for the entire week.
So here we go. And like we said, I'm just using this as an example, right? They're for two. Okay, so guys, trash can nachos right now are $25.99, which I'm assuming that's what they were prior because
big
it's two people. It's two people.
Okay,
it's two people. I'll show you. I got the video on my phone.
Raised.
It could be, though. It could be. So now when we get out there and we get in there, we'll see if they actually raise it. Because I don't think Guy will. I think they'll be the same price.
Yeah.
I think
I would.
The same
I mean,
price.
Personally, I would raise my prices. I would definitely be like, I mean, y'all ain't going to pay it anyway. And didn't you come here to flex? You know, you can flex it.
No, not like that. I don't want to flex there. I just want to eat.
Well, you know, it's all.
Yeah,
there's
we'll
you
see.
Flex it all so time. Excited.
We'll start.
This is amazing.
We got to start. We'll search other places now and see if their prices change just for fun and to cry in case if that is the case. Got to get to a break. When we get back, are the Niners actually underdogs? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 15 minutes away from the Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway. Also 15 minutes away, we'll wait for Simone to pick that winner before we do our first installment of Fair or Foul, because I want Simone around after she's done picking that caller. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at the Hard Rock Sacramento April 13th. 15 minutes, we will give away those tickets. Also, before we get into the Niners and their underdogness, speaking of underdogs, this is from Darren Revelle. This was yesterday. Toyota has signed a national endorsement deal with Brock Purdy. It is the auto brand's first deal with an active NFL player since signing their official NFL vehicle sponsorship in October. Cash rules everything around me. Yeah, real quick. I honestly, everybody is worried. Oh, well, what if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl? What if he doesn't? What about the, and we have years to talk about this because they can't even talk about a contract with Brock until after the 2024 season ends.
Right.
I honestly think this won't be a big deal. I think that Brock is made of the same thing that Tom Brady has been made with in terms of not caring about getting the most money. Yeah. I think Brock understands how much it means to have those weapons. Deals like this very much help. And I don't think that there's going to be, I think it's going to get
that's a great point.
Solved very quickly. Yeah. I don't think it'll be a problem. I think Brock is going to say, what's the most money I can get where I don't lose my guys?
Yep, exactly.
Whatever that is, give me that. I got Toyota. If he wins a Super Bowl, that even, if you're a Niners fan, obviously you want the Niners to win the Super Bowl because you're a Niners fan.
Right.
But also those endorsements after the Super Bowl, Brock is just going to be thinking, yeah, I want a salary. I want to get top 10 because I feel like I'm a top 10 guy.
Right.
But I don't need this. I don't need a Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts contract that can affect the rest of the roster because I want to keep winning.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think this is – people are, well, what's going to happen when you got to pay Brock? I just don't think that's what he's built from.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. The Brady thing is dead on. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. I think Brock is number one person aware that, you know, his weapons are incredibly key to his success. And I totally could see him doing exactly what you laid out, saying, look, what is the most amount of money or what's the ballpark of – how we can maybe make sure that Debo's still around, that we can keep Ayuk around and McCaffrey as well. I guess you don't really have to factor Trent Williams into that, and maybe you're not factoring George Kittle into that as he's kind of in the backside of his career, but you got to make sure that your weapons are still there, or at least giving yourself the money to, hey, if we are or have to move on from one of these guys, let's get some funds to, or make sure we still have some funds to get something in that spot, because I mean, you know, regardless of what you're going to end up paying Brock, it's going to be significantly more than what he's making now. So I definitely think he'll take what he can get. And I can definitely see him doing the team responsible thing and making sure his other guys can eat too.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, pointing out the this endorsement, all these things, it's only going to help because you're right. That's, you know, NBA people, they make just as much off the floor as they do on the floor. And that could be a way of Brock to kind of supplement things.
You know, and people compare the underdog story of Kurt Warner to Brock, and Kurt had that movie recently.
But did you see it?
No, I didn't
see
it.
Good.
It looked terrible.
I was like, there was
Did you see it?
No. I barely watched the trailer.
It looked awful. It looked, but I respect Kurt
Warner. American underdog?
It just didn't look great. And the thing about it is being signed the way that Kurt Warner was signed, great story.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, I do think that even if Kurt Warner was more of an underdog, the branding and marketing is better for Brock because Mr. Irrelevant is a term.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a term, and it's never happened, and that is what people are going to salivate over.
And it stands
over.
For something, too.
And
it stands for being the underdog.
You had our
the
guy,
ultimate underdog.
Friend of the show, we're trying to get Isaiah Thomas, King's Isaiah Thomas, on the show eventually.
Yeah.
He said shout out to the other to another Mr. Irrelevant because he was the last pick in the NBA draft.
Absolutely.
This is a thing. Yeah. We read off the other names. This is crazy talk, right?
Yeah.
Getting signed the way Kurt Warner did, awesome. Maybe a better underdog story technically,
right?
But the branding of Mr. Irrelevant, he's going to be fine. This is all going to be fine, and it's going to be if he pulls this off. And that's a crazy thing. Even if he doesn't, it would still be a crazy story.
Yes.
But this is, it's a make or miss league. If you win it,
yeah, life changing.
It's just life changing. Got a bizarre story. And it's always out of Jacksonville. And this just came out an hour ago.
Say Florida in general.
Florida man strikes again. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, obviously, but Adam Schefter posted this an hour ago. Oh, here's the headline. The Jaguars have asked FanDuel to reimburse them for some or all of the approximately $20 million in stolen proceeds a former employee lost on the site, but the company is unwilling to pay.
Wait, what? Why would the team be requesting the money?
Amit Patel, a mid-level finance manager, has pleaded guilty to stealing $22 million through a virtual credit card system the Jaguars use for expenses.
Yes.
So he stole it.
Yes, he stole the money. Yeah.
FanDuel is saying, I don't care.
Yes.
So was he gambling? Because it's
FanDuel?
Yes,
he was gambling. That I do remember hearing this story.
You going to jail now?
Yeah,
that dude is going to jail.
Yeah. Big time, yes.
That, you're done.
He took money from the organization and used it to gamble. And yeah,
that's
so I guess
crazy.
The Jaguars are asking.
What? They're asking the FanDuel. Hey, that wasn't us, though.
Yeah.
That was, but that's your man's, though.
Yeah,
that was your man's, though.
Like, it's somehow FanDuel's responsibility to be aware that, oh, that money isn't actually his. And so
that's
we're just going to give that money back to you, Jacksonville Jaguars, because you guys are really strapped for cash.
Look,
and
they make it very,
y'all were stupid.
Mid-level finance manager, we're not going to get in anybody's pockets.
No.
I'm not saying that, but I don't understand this stuff, man. This is very similar to me. I'm assuming this guy wasn't doing bad, and honestly, this just
definitely
speaks
not.
To a gambling addiction,
of course,
more than anything else. But it reminds me of, you know, we joke about the sneaker app as I get ready. By the way, sneaker app, May 2024, I'm putting it out there in the universe right now, okay? The sneaker app, they are releasing the Kobe Girl Dads. If I don't get those shoes, I might never wear Nikes again. I need them, Chris. I need them, okay?
Public pleading.
Please, somebody help me.
Help me.
They're turquoise, the Kobe Girl Dads. I think they come out in May. Help your boy out. But this reminds me of the sneaker situation where there was a kid whose mom worked for Nike. So he had the Nike credit card,
right.
And he was buying
flipping
these sneakers.
Yeah, they were like
brother.
All in his garage,
and then he
and
had
stuff.
Them all laid out.
And I'm pretty
sure,
she got laid off because you're a part of that, brother. Not only you didn't just hustle backwards for us, for me, for you,
generational.
You messed
man.
Up the. You fumbled the biggest bag.
Yeah.
Your mom works at Nike. You
like
don't get any
up.
Plugs?
Not just Nike employee store or something. She was like a Nike exec.
Is your allowance not enough?
No, it's not.
That's crazy.
I'm reading here on what Mr. Patel is being accused of here. Actually, not even accused. Has pled guilty to stealing $22 million through a virtual credit card system the Jaguars used for expenses. Sources with knowledge of the case told ESPN that Patel lost about 20 million of the funds on daily fantasy and sports bets.
Who are you
at FanDuel?
Who are you tailing?
Which had
Who
him assigned as a VIP host. He also lost an additional million on DraftKings.
That was his last stand.
He was
Maybe
like,
I could win it all back.
He was like, you know, FanDuel's bad luck.
Yeah.
I've lost 20 mil on FanDuel.
1-800 gambler now.
I'm so close. I can just get it all back. I need is a Bijan Robinson first touchdown, a second touchdown. That is crazy.
Yeah.
You had a good job, man.
He transferred the money directly from the virtual credit card straight to FanDuel. Their discussions
FanDuel,
are
no
ongoing.
Flags there? No flags there, FanDuel?
Nothing. No, just
no flags.
Also, yeah, great point. How much are people just casually dropping in? If that doesn't even raise a flag, like how much money are people just dropping on their FanDuel accounts? Goodness.
They're like, it's Drake. Or no, he does steak, I guess. Never mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a whole nother thing too. That seems like it's sketch to
that,
say the least.
I cannot believe that. I mean, look, man. It's a problem.
Here's what FanDuel has to say about it. FanDuel said this in a statement. The way that they see it, we got this money fair and clear. It's not our problem that we have to forfeit it back to you.
No, it's not your problem at all.
At all. At all. I don't even understand what, that's like, what are the grounds that the Jaguars are this is on?
You know what? Because, you know, I came from the tech world, and there are certain situations where, okay, you pay vendors for certain things, and you have finance, and you have accounting, and they should know what's going out. You clearly have no clue what's going out.
Yeah, this is what the Jaguars say. They say gambling sites have a duty to perform anti-money laundering and know your client procedures to ensure they do not onboard funds of an illicit origin. Let's see here. Where the size of the customer's bets far outweighs their income, red flags are present and should require attention, additional attention.
So he was
and
on his personal.
Yes, so it was on his personal account, but the money was filtered through the virtual credit card.
That's, I mean, if you're FanDuel, I get that, so but that's not
this is a what? Great quote. He was legendarily bad when it comes to the biggest loser ever on FanDuel, they're calling him.
Gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy. That is crazy. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we have our Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway and our first installment of Fair or Foul. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown.